Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
We're so glad that you're with us today. My name is Brian.
My name is Josh.
And we're celebrating Easter together, and we're so glad that you're with us. And we're in a school on Easter.
Yeah. Who knew?
I have a lot of feelings when I think about being in school, right?
I feel like everybody has feelings about being in school.
Emotions start to come up. I feel like I need to sing some John Mayer, right?
Yeah, just go run through these halls right here.
That's it. You know, I think of positive memories.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I have so many good memories of skipping class.
Yeah. And then I think a lot of negative memories, especially middle school. Like, pray for your middle schoolers, right?
Who doesn't have negative memories of middle school?
Right. One of the things I think about in school that I struggled with was just rejection, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Feeling rejected, girlfriends, and let's be honest, I didn't have any.
I didn't have any either.
And then friends, didn't have many of those either, right? So, but the truth is, like, I think we all can relate to that. Josh, tell us about, like, what did rejection look like for you in school?
Man, rejection for me started even before middle school. For me, it was like third grade. I remember I got diagnosed with dyslexia. Hmm. And so after that diagnosis, I didn't even know what dyslexia was. I just knew that they would come into the class in the middle of the day and pull me out to take me to the special class.
The special class.
Right. And to work on my dyslexia and learning through it, I guess.
Yeah.
And so that was automatically like a rejection, like an outsider looking in, felt weird and awkward and dumb. And then after that, my parents moved across the state, and we moved to this little tiny town, and I went to this little tiny school, and everyone at the school was like from there. And so again, I'm the outsider looking in, trying to make friends, trying to just not be an outsider.
Right.
And then I remember school starts after that summer, and what do? They come, they take me out of that class, take me to the special classes. And so always feeling like the outsider, starting to get made fun of, starting to get teased. Really just starting to get rejected by my peers.
Yeah, well, so it sounds like you need some help, Josh.
Yeah, you know, I think I worked through it now.
No, I think we all can relate to that, right? I can remember being a military kid, moving to a new town, and just feeling so uncomfortable, the dreaded lunchroom, right?
Oh, man, where are you going
to
sit?
To the lunchroom, where to sit down to have some lunch. And the question is, like, what does this have to do with Easter? Well, today we're celebrating with over 2 billion other Christians from around the world. This is the moment that split history in two, the resurrection of Jesus. And if you're new here and maybe you're like, I don't know if I can relate to Jesus, here's what you need to know. Is this idea of the cross and this idea of Jesus. This story isn't just the story of Jesus, it's everyone's story. And in fact, in Isaiah 53, it says this. It says, he was despised and rejected. He was a man acquainted with grief and one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And so everybody in the room, here's what we know, is that rejection is so hard. It just stinks to be rejected. But Jesus was rejected. In fact, he was rejected in every way that we are by his closest friends, right? By Peter, by Judas, and in fact, by his hometown, his family in Nazareth. You know, those are the people that were celebrating him on Palm Sunday. And likely they were the same people that were screaming, crucify him on Good Friday. And rejection is really, it's just a result of sin, right?
Right.
That's where it came from. And what we're made for is acceptance. And if you're new to church today, probably one of the questions you're asking is, do they see me? And that's a question of, do they actually accept me? And so, Josh, why do we desire so much to be accepted?
Well, I believe that we are created in God's image. In fact, Scripture teaches that and says it in Genesis, that we are created in his image. And our God was a God who we believe is what we call a triune God. In other words, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And our God lived in perfect community amongst himself with zero rejection.
Right, right.
Right, and complete acceptance. And so we're created in that image. So literally acceptance, or the desire for acceptance, is in our very DNA.
Sure, but that's not how the world works.
No, right? Not at all.
At all. So what does it look like to gain acceptance in the culture that we live in?
I think now what it means to gain acceptance is, like, what do you bring to the table? What can you give to me? It's almost transactional, right?
Sure.
Like, acceptance is, if I can make you laugh.
Right, which you can't.
Which I can't.
Right.
But if I could, I would be worth something to you, and so then you would accept me. But
sure.
If I can't offer you anything, then there's no reason to accept me.
Sure. And I think, honestly, we can think of a lot of stories of being rejected. Those stick in our mind, right? But the truth is, we are not just the rejects, we are actually the rejectors, right?
That's right, yeah.
Like, when
absolutely.
It comes to Jesus, we've all rejected Jesus, right?
Yeah, completely. In fact, I go back to what I was saying earlier, like, our God was a God who lived in perfect community amongst himself and never, ever experienced rejection. until sin, right? Until man decided to reject God. And that's just what we call sin. Sin is when we reject God. And so God experienced rejection, and we experienced rejecting him and choosing right. our own way instead of his way.
Right. And so when it comes to Easter, maybe you're wondering, like, can I relate to this? Once again, I want you to know this. The cross wasn't just Jesus' story. The cross is everyone's story. And for you, maybe you need to forgive some others for rejecting you. Maybe you know that you need forgiveness for rejecting others and rejecting God. And ultimately, that's what Easter is all about, is that Jesus came to the world to make a way for acceptance. And even if you think it's impossible, even if you think, man, there's no way God could accept me, what we celebrate every Easter is this reality that if the tomb is empty, anything is possible. Hey, welcome to my garage.
Hey, we're here.
This is my happy place, I'll tell you what. And I'll tell you what, I think a garage is a place of learning and discipleship.
Like, oh, absolutely.
I mean, you remember growing up and working with your dad in the garage?
Of course. I remember my dad always changing the oil in the cars. He always changed my mom's oil, his oil in his car as a kid, and just kind of watching him do that. Absolutely.
You learn a lot from dad or from whoever it is that you're working with in the garage. In fact, I remember this time with my dad. He was working on this 88 Ford Taurus, and it had this issue with the heater core. It was leaking, and so we spent like 8 hours pulling the dash off of this car, putting it in there, and finally got it together. He fired the car up, and I'll never forget, as soon as it started, coolant started running down the inside of the car.
No,
it was like
way.
A brand new car, and it had a hole in it from the store. And I remember looking at my dad, just wondering how he was going to react, and he just said this. He said, "Son, we're going to do it again." And I was like, the patience that this man had in this moment to be able to do that, you just learn a lot from the people around you. And whether you know it or not, you're a product of your upbringing, you're a product of your environment. And we live in this society that either doesn't acknowledge that our environments have shaped us, or we love to blame our parents for everything, right? Like, it's always somebody else's fault. Because although we've gained good things from the people around us, we've also gained some negative things. And what do you do when you have those negative things? In fact, I remember this quote from a guy named Frederick Douglass, who's known as the father of the abolitionist movement. He famously said this. He said, "The lesson taught at this point by human experience is simply this, that the man who will get up will be helped up, and the man who will not get up will be allowed to stay down." And I love that quote because, in other words, it says that we have a decision to make with everything passed on to us, just how it will affect our lives. And so, Josh, how do we see this principle in Scripture?
Well, the things we've been talking about, Brian, remind me so much of what Paul writes to the church in Rome. We read it in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and it's this idea of things being passed down to us. And this is what Paul says. He says, "When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. But there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ."
Amen. Come on.
And what Paul's saying is, like, sin has been passed down to you. It's been passed down to me. It's been passed down to all of us. It's been given to us in our DNA. And the reality is we're not sinners because we sin, right? We sin because we are sinners. It is in us. It is who we are.
That's good.
And Brian, the reality is a lot of people believe that humanity is just kind of inherently good.
Right.
But what would you say to that?
Yeah, I would say, have you met a five-year-old? it's the truth, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I think we all have this sense that human nature isn't as it should be, right? And we know that, and then we have kids, and we see really just a mirror of ourselves in our children, and we realize you have to teach a kid to steal the toy or to, you know, to hit the other kid on the head to get what he wants. We're all selfish beings. We're born that way, which is just another sign that we need a savior.
So what power do we have to change this sin inside of us? Like, are we just helpless to the fact that, hey, well, I'm a sinner?
Well, that's the whole idea of Easter, right? Is that Jesus is the way. Romans 8:3 says, "He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this
so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So this is so important that you get this. In other words, what you couldn't overcome by your own strength, you will be able to overcome through the Spirit. Now, this isn't PC, but it's BC. It's biblically correct.
Yeah.
While there have been many people who have blamed places and systems and people and even genetics for the situation that they're in, the truth is you have the power to change things through the resurrection, and your life does not have to stay the same.
That's right, man. That is such good news. And that's what Easter is all about. I mean, some of you have had to deal with terrible things. You just got a bad hand dealt with you at the beginning. Yeah. Maybe it was the family that you were born into that was just a bad situation. Maybe you struggled with poor health growing up and you just always struggled with that. Or maybe you have certain impulses that you can't seem to overcome. It's almost like your sin is in your very DNA.
Yeah, how about that?
Because I believe that it is. But every Easter, Christians around the world take hope in this idea that Jesus wasn't a victim, right? Which means that we aren't victims either. Like, Jesus willingly went to the cross for us, for you, and for me. And he suffered. And we can suffer too. And it's okay that we know we're going to have sufferings in this world. But the thing is, for Christians, what we understand is it's only dark before it's dawn.
It's true.
In other words, this suffering is not eternal. Mm. And something better, so much better, is coming. Because here's the truth. If the cross is everyone's story, the resurrection can be your story because of Jesus.
So in the moments before the cross, it got real, like really real. And what I mean is the circumstances revealed the true nature of people's belief in Jesus. And if you know the story, everyone closest to Jesus abandoned Jesus, right? We even got Peter saying, like, "I do not know that man." And when they should have stood firm, they shrunk back. And I've been there before. Josh, have you ever experienced a test and failed the test like that?
Oh, man. Terrible. Yes. I remember. A long time ago, I was newly married, and Malia and I got tickets to go to a Seahawks game. And so we go, we're dirt poor, we're super excited, we're newly married, we go to the game, and we decide to get a big thing of garlic fries.
Love some garlic
fries. Totally remember this. So we're sitting there eating the garlic fries, and this guy, like, a couple seats down from us, leans over, and he's like, "Hey, pass down the garlic fries." And we're like, "Ha, funny. No, you know, we're just sitting there eating." And he's like, "No, seriously, pass them down. That's what you do." And we're like, we're poor. Like, these garlic fries were like all the money that we had to spend on, you know, extra stuff for that month. And so it's like, "No, man." And my wife, Malia, she's holding the fries and she's just eating them. And she won't pass them down. He says it a couple more times. We ignore him. And finally he leans down. He's like, "Hey, dude, next time you come to a game, leave that wife of yours at home." And I was just like, "Oh, I didn't know what to do." Like, I'm of course I'm angry and I want to go at him, right? I want to defend my wife's honor. I want to tell this guy to shut up. I want to teach him a lesson. I'm like, I want to get in a fight with this guy. But all of a sudden, like, all of these thoughts start going through my head. I'm like, "Oh, man, if I get in a fight with this guy, we're going to get kicked out. I might get arrested." And I'm a new pastor at the time, of course, too. And I'm like, "Oh, my goodness, like, what happens if I spend the night in jail tonight and, like, all of a sudden my work finds out, like, I got arrested for getting in a fight and I'm in jail?" And all of these thoughts are going through my head. And so what do? Nothing. Like, absolutely nothing. And I just kind of ignored him, pretend like I didn't hear him, and just went on with the game. And later that night on the drive home, my wife was not happy with me. She's just like, "Why did you not do something? Right. Why did you not say something? Why did you not stand up and defend me?" Mm-hmm. And I just felt all of this guilt and all of this shame and just felt so terrible about it. So much so, that was like 17, 18 years ago, but I felt so much shame and guilt. Like, I've never talked about this story before.
Right.
I've never told anybody this happened, except for literally right now. You are all hearing this story in my life for the very first time because I've just carried so much shame about not standing up for my wife.
Yeah, I think we all can relate to something like that. And here's the good news is that in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, listen to this, despising the shame.
Yeah.
And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So listen, we tend to think that nobody has messed up as bad as we have. And I want to get super honest this Easter. Let's do this together. So who here would admit that they have done some things in life that they would never want displayed on this big screen this Easter? So I'm going to have you raise your hand. Ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand. All right. All right. So there's the people who have their hands raised, and there are the liars in the room, right? So if you're here and you're like, I think I'm the worst person in the room, the only person that feels shame, I hope what you know is you are not alone. In fact, that's why we exist as a church, is to deal with all of that. And so, Josh, what is shame?
Yeah, shame is this thing you feel in your very being, that you are wrong or that you are bad. Like, shame is the thing that says, like, I am bad. Like, who I am is bad, or who I am is wrong. And it can be because of what you've done in the past, decisions you made, or it can be something that you can't control, like the family you came from, or maybe you just feel like you should be further along in life or a different place in life, and you have shame just because of maybe the car you drive.
Right.
Because
do you feel shame for the car you drive?
I'm pretty good. No, I'm not ashamed about the car I drive. But, you know, those things that, like, I should be better than where I'm at right now, and you carry the shame from it because I'm not good enough or I am bad or wrong.
Yeah. And here's what you need to know about shame is that shame brings the failures of our past into the present in order to steal our future. And what I love about this Hebrews text is that it says that Jesus despised the shame. And that Greek word kataphroneo means to think a little of. In fact, Jesus felt all of our shame, but because he is Christ and he was going to overcome it, he knew that that shame was powerless.
That's good.
And I'm guessing that some of you have thought much of your shame, not little of it, but much. And shame is probably the only thing keeping you from surrendering your life to Jesus today. And Josh, you felt this before. Like, shame has a voice, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it has a voice. And it says things like this, like, you don't belong here. You can never get past your past. Or maybe you saw the baptism take as you walked in and you thought, if I ever got baptized, everyone would judge me. But the truth is, listen, we would celebrate with you. And shame is a liar. It always lies. That's what it does. And so, Josh, how does shame keep us stuck?
Yeah, man, shame totally keeps us stuck. I love what you were saying. Shame has a voice. The voice in my head, shame, kept telling me, was like, man, you were a bad husband because you didn't stick up for your wife. And it kept me stuck in this area. And shame keeps us stuck, and it keeps us trapped in our past so we can't, in a healthy way, move forward into our future, the things that God has for us. Like, God has things for us, but shame keeps us stuck so far back in our past that we can't move forward into those new things.
So what would you tell someone who is dealing with shame here today?
Man, that's a good question. That's simple. It is trust in Jesus. Have hope in what Jesus has done, that he defeated our sin and shame. In fact, trust Jesus, but know the truth. And that's so important. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that for those who are in Christ, those who have received what Jesus has done for them, it says that we are being transformed into the image of the glory of God.
That's
like, literally, no shame. You are being transformed into God's glory. And then it says from glory to glory. Like, that's what you're being turned into. You're not being turned into your mistakes. You're not being, like, held into prison with your past. Because of the work of Jesus, you're being moved into the glory of God.
So you might be thinking, Brian, you don't know what I've done. But I would say the problem is this. You don't know what he's done.
That's right.
Shame was the first thing that was felt by Adam and Eve when sin entered into the world. And shame is what you feel when you sin, and what we all feel. And honestly, without Jesus and the resurrection, all we have is shame. But the reason Jesus thought little of shame on the cross is because he knew resurrection was coming. And so listen, we've all messed up in this life. And because God is just, our sin deserved a sacrifice. But because God is love, he became that sacrifice for us. And so you have a decision to make this Easter. Either hold on to your shame or hold on to Jesus.
Well, happy Easter, everybody. Let's celebrate being together today. Come on. What a day it's been. What a weekend it's been, man, watching people get baptized. Let's give it up for everybody that's gotten baptized so far. Come on. So good. And if you're new and you're like, what's with the people on the screen somewhere else? These are people that are in Takotnu Theater giving their lives to Jesus right now. So that's just awesome. This is so good. If you're like, why in the theater? Well, we're doing church in two locations for the very first time here in Eagle River. We have a whole team that is also doing the same thing in Takotnu Theater this morning. And man, God is using this in incredible ways today. And I want you to know, if you're here and you're like, man, I would love to get baptized, and you haven't done it yet, you still have time. There's one more song left, okay? So you still got some time. You can get up at any point. The people in the row, they'll let you out. Don't worry. It'll be just fine. But and then even at the end of the service, if you're just like, man, I didn't do it. I needed to. We have one more service, okay? You have one more chance here today to make this decision. Baptism is really this symbol that Jesus declares and calls us to participate in as soon as we follow Jesus. So I don't care if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 50 years, today's your day to get baptized. Like, don't leave here, because I'll tell you what, a private faith is really a weak faith. It really is. When we're private about our faith in the church, when we're all cheering for you, how are you going to live with boldness in the world, right? So it begins right here this morning. I'll stop with that. But I just want to give you a chance. Like, this is your moment to take that next step. And if you don't know what we're celebrating, what Easter is all about, this is about the resurrection of Jesus. We believe that Jesus came to the earth. He took on the form of humanity. He lived the perfect life that you and I could never live. He died the death that we all deserve. He went into a tomb and into a grave, but it was a borrowed tomb. Why? Because he didn't need it for long. Amen? He didn't need that tomb for long, because then 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, reigning and ruling over the world. And he's speaking to you and I today, saying, hey, resurrection can be your story too. This Easter story can be for you. In the school, we made the point that the cross is everyone's story, because we have all rejected God, right? We all have sin in our lives, and the cross really is a display of your sin. If you've ever wondered, is my sin that bad? Just look at how badly Jesus was beaten. That's how bad our sin is, right? But then we continued in the garage. We learned that we have all inherited sin. And we have a decision to make about what we've inherited. Will we be victims, or will we be victorious in the name of Jesus, right? Will we continue to be victims or victorious? And in the stadium, we learn that Jesus wants to take our shame and give us glory. That's good news, right? He wants to take everything you've done, every mistake you've made, and turn it into glory if you submit to Jesus. Again, back to the story on Friday, it was a day of unjust suffering. It was a day of darkness, and it was a day of pain for Jesus. And for some of you, you came in here to church today, and life feels like Friday. Life feels like a lot of unjust suffering. You feel like, man, when is the pain ever going to end? And then it moves into Saturday. Saturday is really a day of waiting. It's a day of the unknown, right? It's a day where all of the disciples were like, I guess Jesus wasn't who I thought he was. And some of you are in that place in your life where Jesus has somehow disappointed you, or God hasn't done what you wanted God to do. Or maybe just life in general feels like a waiting game, and you just can't ever get to where you want to go. But praise God, there's Friday, there's Saturday, but we celebrate that it's Sunday, right? It is the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus came up out of the grave. He came out of the tomb. He was no good prophet or good teacher. Jesus was no motivational speaker. He was the Son of God, raised from the dead, and the rest of history would never be the same. And everything changed on Easter. And so I have some questions for you. I want you to just really consider these this morning. And the first is this: is rejection keeping you from resurrection? Have you spent a lifetime rejecting God? Where maybe you've even done some good things in your life, or come to church a few times, but you've just never truly made him the Lord and leader of your life. That's called rejecting God. And maybe that's keeping you from moving forward, because you're thinking, man, would God ever accept me where I am? I just want you to know that's all God does, is accept people where they're at. If there was any way for you to be acceptable to God based on what you've done, Jesus would not have had to die. The whole point of the crucifixion and resurrection is that you and I, we can never be good enough. You can never do enough good things to outweigh the bad things. That's just not how it works. We need a Savior. The next question is this: is victimization keeping you from resurrection? Are you here kind of playing the victim card, going, man, life's been hard, right? And maybe it has been. Or my family, man, it's just such a disaster, and maybe it is. Or maybe you were born with some real issues, and those things have held you back your whole life. Listen, you need to know this. At the end of your life, when you stand before God, you will not make an account for what anybody else did with this life. You will make an account for what you did with this life. It all comes back to what you choose to do. And so we don't get to play the victim card. Maybe it's with the church. Maybe you're like, the church hurt me. And we talk a lot about being a church for the unchurched and dechurched, and we know that there are wounds when it comes to church, but again, the church will hurt you because the church is full of humans, and humans desperately need Jesus. But Jesus is not the church. He came to save the church, okay? So you got to know the difference between those two things. And the last question is this: is shame keeping you from resurrection? Is it something you've done that you're just going like, man, this is between me and God, and there's just no way that he could get through this issue, or that I could get past my past? And maybe you're beating yourself up, and this is such a tendency for a lot of us, is to beat ourselves up because we think we deserve it, right? What the Bible says is that we should be convicted, but there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so when you beat yourself up, what you are literally saying is that Jesus' beating on the cross was not enough. You understand that? When you ridicule yourself, what you're saying is the ridicule that Jesus felt on the cross was not enough. When you isolate yourself and pull away from the things that God has designed you for because of your shame, what you're saying is that Jesus' isolation wasn't enough. No, today we say shame has no victory and no power in our lives. We declare that Jesus' power is enough to overcome anything we have done. And this is the truth. Listen. In the end, you have a decision to make. You will walk out of this room in one of two camps. There is no middle ground. Your life will either end up being a closed grave or an empty tomb. Your life will either be a closed grave that's full of worship of the false gods of rejection and victimization and shame, or your life will be an empty tomb based on the worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so you have a decision to make. And maybe you're here and you're like, no, Brian, I'm good. I'm a believer. I come to church once a year. That's great, right? I'm glad you do. Or maybe you have a couple Bibles in your house and you had to work really hard to find it this morning, right? You're like, it's somewhere in here, you know? Or maybe if you have to check a box based on religion, you would say, I am a Christian. And one of the terms that we use synonymously with Christian is this word believer, right? If someone's a believer, then they're a Christian. But I'm here to tell you today on Easter that not all believers are Christians. In fact, if you're like, Brian, that's heresy, let's go to the Bible, okay? So James chapter 2, verse 19 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. In other words, if you just believe but have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you're about as saved as a demon. So that's just the Bible, I'm just telling you. Like it's saying, belief isn't enough. What you need is surrender. And maybe you're here and you've got some doubts. And let me just tell you, I've got some doubts. I've got a lot of doubts. And that Jesus is big enough for your doubts. You can bring those to Jesus. Like, he's okay with that. You can surrender to God. Listen, following Jesus is not the absence of doubt. It is the presence of surrender. That's what it is. You don't have to be absent of all doubts. You will go through doubtful times, but you can still surrender your life to Christ and trust in him. In fact, if you just read the Gospels today, over the next week, and just read the stories of Jesus and his disciples, and what you'll see is that his disciples constantly doubted him, which means that there's good news for you and I, that if you're a doubter, you would make a great disciple, right? Because those people doubted Jesus, even they were the ones that worked the miracles with Jesus and saw who he was, and they still doubted, and yet they could walk into truth with Jesus. So here's the invitation. There's something better for you. Have you thought this before? Did you come into church today going, man, I feel like there's more? Once again, I want to tell you the reason you feel like that is because there is more. There's something more for you today. In fact, there's a new life that you can live. You don't have to be who you used to be. You can be a new person today. 2 Corinthians 5 says, the old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from God who settled the relationship between us and him, and they called us to settle our relationships with each other. What if you could leave church today knowing that your relationship with God was settled? I want you to know, man, it takes more than simple belief in God. It takes surrender to God. That's why we're doing baptism today, because baptism is when that surrender in your heart moves into your body. It's something that we do publicly together. And if you're here and you're like, I don't know, I feel like I've got to be judged because I have a past. Everybody in this room's got a past, okay? Everybody's got a story. You saw all the hands go up. You need to know this, that in this room, I'm a pastor, so I know some of the stories of some of you specifically, right? In this room is everything you can possibly imagine. There are people in this room who are multiple times divorced, people who are upset with their parents and holding grudges against family members, people who are working up the courage currently to go to rehab, people who have taken a swing at their spouses, who are reading their Bibles for the first time, people who have ran away from home, have seen the darkest corners of the internet, people who are so full of rage that they black out sometimes, people full of shame because of their military careers, people who have been in and out of prison, people who are addicted to alcohol, others money, others to sex, and the difference is they have based their life not on their righteousness, but on the righteousness of Christ. That's the difference. That's the only difference in this room. And the good news of Easter is it doesn't even end at the resurrection of Jesus. You know, that's just the start of the story. Just like today can be the beginning of your story, over the next weeks and months, Jesus reveals himself to over 500 eyewitnesses. 50 days later, something happens called Pentecost, which is the moment that the Holy Spirit came onto the church and empowered the church to move forward in mission and in miracles. And I'm here to tell you today, that's what the church today needs. We need the Holy Spirit working in the church to empower us to do the things that he has called us to do. So I have three invitations. I know this is a lot, but I have three invitations. The first is this: put your faith in Jesus today. Everything can change this morning. Everything can change. The second is to get baptized. You might be in your pretty dress and you spent 2 hours on your hair. Don't stand before Jesus one day and go, "But my hair." Make the choice. The third is this: be boldly asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you here today and you're just like, "Man, Brian, I'm a Christian, but I'm a really weak one." My coworkers would know no difference between me and someone who rejects God. My family doesn't have any idea that I follow Jesus. And maybe it's because you just haven't been faithful and you need power in your life. Listen, even in the book of Acts, there's a moment where the disciples are asked, "Hey, do you have the Holy Spirit?" And they're like, "We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit." Listen, if you're lacking power, that's where the power comes from. Not from you grinding it out more, but from the power of God inside of you. Would you bow your heads for a moment? I want to give you a chance to pray. And if you're here and maybe you're like, "I'm not ready, Brian." Nope. I'm interested, but I'm not ready. I want you to just pray this prayer with me. And would you even just consider opening your hands on your lap for a moment, just as a sign of openness to God and a symbol of receiving? You can just pray this prayer. "God, if you're real, show me who you are. God, if you're really real, would you show me your face over the next couple of days? Would you reveal yourself to me and my desperate need for you?" And if you're here today and you're saying, "No, this is my moment. I need to surrender my life to you, Jesus," would you just pray this with me? "Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I want you to be my Savior. I'm declaring here today that somehow what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago and with the empty tomb, somehow that counted for me today. So God, take my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Today I step from death into life, from a tomb into resurrection. Today I am your son, I am your daughter, and my life will never be the same." And maybe you're here and you're like, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, but a really weak Christian." I want you to pray this with me. "Holy Spirit, fill me. From my head to my toes, Holy Spirit, would you give me the strength and the power that I don't have to overcome sin, to speak boldly about my faith, even to get baptized today? Holy Spirit, I need you and I want you. Would you give me more of you?" Father, we're so thankful for the church. We're thankful for this moment. Continue the work that you started in this room, we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate what God just did in this room today. Amen.